Welcome everyone this morning. As we continue the theme, the lesson today is concerning drifting. When I first saw that title, trying to kind of combine it in with the theme, it seemed like it wasn't quite a part of the theme. But as we think about it, and we're going to have, this will be kind of like a class, so we'll have some discussion, but I want to try to cover most of the material that I have as well. But as we think about that, talking about hurting, people hurting, and all the different reasons, whether it be physical or emotional, financial, and so on. Sometimes when people get to a point where they are hurting, what tends to happen to them spiritually? They just kind of fall away. And we might say it's drifting. They start drifting a little bit, and that's what we'll talk about today. We'll talk about some of the symptoms of drifting and how to remedy that. And just some characteristics of it as well. There's a story that I heard about two young men who were fishing above a low dam on a river near their hometown. And as they were concentrating on catching fish, they weren't really thinking too much about where they were and their surroundings. But they were unaware that they had drifted until they were not far from the water flowing over the dam. And when they realized their situation, of course, the current near the dam had become too powerful for them to keep their boat from going over. Below the dam was the water was dashing with strong force over the great boulders and through crevices in the rocks. And caught by the swirling waters under the rocks, they never came to the surface. After days of just a lot of relentless searching, one body was found and then finally another. But that was a tragedy that happened because they were drifting. They were just drifting along, not really concentrating on what they were doing, not really knowing where they were going or where they were headed, that they were headed for danger. And that's the way that people sometimes get when they start not focusing on God and their faithfulness, not praying and not reading their Bible and so on. Those are some of the things that happen when people drift. Let's begin in our scripture with Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. The danger of drifting is not limited to the physical realm. In Hebrews 2 and verse 1, we find a warning against drifting. So we can see that this lesson is pertinent to the theme that we are dealing with about hurting, and realize that sometimes when people get to concentrating on other things in life, they begin to forget about their spiritual welfare with God and forget about their relationship with God. But Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that were heard, lest perhaps or haply, as the American Standard says, we drift away from them." So drifting. Sadly, it is not uncommon for Christians to drift toward destruction. So the question that we'll ask right now is, are you drifting? Am I drifting? Are there ways that we could be drifting even though we are here today? Is it possible that people could be doing some of the things that are right with God and some of the things we need to do, but still be drifting away from the Lord? Let's notice, first of all, consider the things that we should know about drifting. Number one, these are just some characteristics about it, and we'll relate it to the physical realm of drifting and then how it is parallel to the spiritual realm. First of all, drifting requires how much effort?
None.
So first point is, drifting requires no effort. You don't really have to work hard at drifting. Just stop oaring, or if you're in a sailboat tacking against the wind, and a boater will just begin to drift. Just stop doing anything. So it requires no effort. The same is true for the Christian. Notice again at that scripture in Hebrews 2, verse 1. It says, "We ought to give the more earnest heed." What does it mean to give heed to something? Okay, pay attention to it. We need to pay attention to the things that were heard and what was heard before that. We didn't really go into that. We'll not take time to look at chapter 1, but it's talking about spiritual things, about who Christ is, and that the Word has been spoken through Christ. So we are to give earnest heed to spiritual things so we will not drift away. Sometimes we become, we get into the trap of just paying attention to the physical things of life. Financial things, worldly things, things that have to do maybe with our pain or with our the things that we are worried about emotionally. We get too concerned about those things. That's why Jesus said, be not anxious for tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. You need to seek the kingdom first. So when we have those problems, we need to be sure that we're focusing on God and godly living and our faith toward Him. So the first point is that drifting requires no effort. Number two is that it is an unconscious process. Just drifting. A lot of people are not really conscious of what's going on with them. They don't realize that they're drifting, like the story that we mentioned. So it is possible to drift unaware. Just drifting and not really realize what's going on. So in a boat, sometimes the undercurrents are often unnoticeable from the surface. And other conditions, other situations, the same is true. But the same is true in the spiritual realm. Many individual Christians have slowly drifted away. If you think of someone that you know that has fallen away from the Lord, you might realize that it didn't happen all of a sudden. You start thinking about, you know what, I started noticing something a little bit different about them, and maybe they weren't even aware of you. Maybe you mentioned something. No, I'm not having any trouble. They don't mention it, or they don't realize it at first, but then, of course, as the time goes on, it gets to a point where they can't seem to turn things around. And many churches also have gradually drifted away from the truth and drifted into error. Little things start out. They start allowing things, and sometimes people look back and say, you know what, that's kind of a dangerous trend to get into. That's going to lead to other things. And they say, well, no, there's nothing wrong with this in itself. So they keep doing it, and then other things happen. And then they drift away into error. A third point is that we never drift upstream or against the tide. You don't drift upstream. Usually it's the other way around. Faithfulness to the Lord is like oaring upstream. That is faithfulness. That we have to work at it. We have to do something. It takes action. We must be constantly adding to our faith, according to 2 Peter 1 and verse 5. We must add to our faith. We must continue to grow. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. Second Peter 3:18 encourages us to continue to grow, continue to be faithful. Just a short verse, it says, but grow, it's the last verse of Second Peter, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we need to grow. We can't just stay the same because then we may be allowed to drift. Just drift away. We're not working, so we could be drifting away from the Lord. So the moment you stop growing, you start going backwards or downwards. A fourth point is the speed downstream increases. When you're going down, gradually it gets a little faster and faster. You stop drifting, you start moving. But you're moving in the wrong direction. You're not moving where you should be going. So when we can hear the noise of the waterfall, where are we at? It's already too late, usually. It's a bad time, a bad place to be. When we lose sight of land, it is more difficult to discern that we are drifting. So as we move farther and farther from the Lord, we tend to care less and less about what we are doing. Another point about drifting is that it is dangerous to others. When we are drifting, it can become dangerous to others. What about if a ship was drifting, just drifting along, not knowing where it's going? A big ship, well, it could be dangerous to smaller vessels. It could harm somebody else that's coming in the way. And what about parents who are drifting away from the Lord? Is that going to affect anybody else? Well, of course, just since I said parents, that's obvious. I'm talking about the fact that there's children involved. If parents are drifting away from the Lord, they're not really concerned about how much they attend the services, they're not really concerned about doing work for the Lord, about increasing in their knowledge, then their children are not going to be taught the proper example. They are not going to be taught the Lord, because usually people who are drifting away from the Lord are not really involved with praying and not really involved in Bible study, so they're not going to give the example they should to their children. So drifting can be dangerous to others. And then the last point about the characteristics of drifting is that it ends in shipwreck. It ends in disaster. A boat adrift will crash on the rocks or go over the falls. And that's what happens eventually to Christians. If you're drifting, eventually you're going to get to a point where you're just falling away because you're not doing anything to grow, you're not doing anything to fight off the danger of sin in your life. So for those who drift spiritually through their own neglect, there shall be no escape from a just punishment. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 2, where we began, and finish reading down through verse 3. Remember that verse 1, the end of verse 1 says that we are to give the more earnest heed to things that were heard, lest we drift away from them. Verse 2 says, "For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which having at the first been spoken through the Lord was confirmed unto us by them that heard?" So how shall we escape? There is no escape. If we're going to drift away from the Lord, we are going to be punished for it. So that's why we have to be aware of the danger of drifting away. The danger of drifting is real. It is a very serious thing, or there would be no need to warn against it here in the book of Hebrews. So, again, we ask, are you drifting? To help answer the question, here are some common signs of drifting. First of all, a diminishing desire to study God's Word. I've already made reference to that as we've been introducing the lesson, but just a point where if somebody's drifting, they're not really concerned about Bible study. So the reason that I'm pointing these out is because we might not think that we're drifting away from the Lord, but if we have all of these signs, then we may have to wake up and see, well, maybe I am drifting away and I didn't know it. Because remember what we said at the beginning, when you're drifting, you don't even realize it. You don't realize the danger. So that's why we're looking at these points. Signs of drifting. Number one is, as I said, diminishing desire to study God's Word and pray. So study and prayer. A diminishing desire to do either of those. The Bible is a unique book. It's a source of information not found anywhere else. And without God's revelation, how could we know certain things? How could we know, truly know about our origin? How can we know about our purpose, and how can we know about our destiny? So the Bible is something that we need to continue to study just all of our Christian life, all of it. All of our lives we need to continue to study the Bible because of how important it is. It tells us of sin's dreadful consequences. It tells us how we can help others to get to heaven. It just tells us so many things. It tells us how God saves us from sin. So when one loses the desire to study God's Word, they are drifting. Now the other point that goes along with this prayer, we said there's a diminishing desire to study God's Word and to pray. Well, prayer also is a wonderful blessing. That was the main point of our subject last night, is when we are hurting, when something's wrong in our life, we need to pray. We can pray when so many things happen, and then we looked at how we are to pray, what kind of attitude we are to have in prayer. But it is just an avenue to communicate with God, that we are talking to God about our needs, about our problems and so on, and about our blessings as well. So we need to continue that throughout our lives. Jesus, who loved his Father, often prayed. So many times that he prayed to God, and he gave the example of how we should pray, not just when he said, here's how to pray, but in other ways that he prayed, he was giving examples also. And he expressed concern that his disciples not grow weary to pray. In Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, he said, or as he spoke a parable unto them, to the end that they ought always to pray and not to faint. That's what he told them. That's Luke 18 verse 1. They ought always to pray and not to faint. So when the Christian prays less and less, he is on his drifting course. He is drifting away more and more. So the first point is a diminishing desire to study God's Word and to pray. That's one of the signs of drifting. Number two is a diminishing desire to be with God's people. Do people usually have a desire to be with other Christians, like when they first are baptized? Usually, you know, they want to be there. They want to be with them. They come to worship, and that's part of it as well. Coming to worship, being in worship, being in Bible study, being in places where other Christians are, that's important. But then as somebody begins to drift, they begin to not be here as much. When somebody starts falling away, it's usually not they weren't here. It's not like they were here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. They were here for Bible class. And all of a sudden, one Sunday, after that, so much good as far as record of attendance, all of a sudden they've just fallen away. Do you think that happens very much? We don't usually see that just all of a sudden. How does it usually happen? When do they usually start missing? Okay, Wednesday night, that's in the middle of the week. Well, we're not really, the Bible, you know, it says we worship on the first day of the week. So Wednesday night, I'm busy, I'm kind of tired, get home from work, and kind of, you know, I'm not as concerned. And then the next step is usually either Sunday morning Bible class or Sunday night. They're usually here, before somebody falls away, they come Sunday morning for the worship. And sometimes they even leave early on that, before they completely fall away. Sometimes people will show up in time to partake of the Lord's Supper, and that's about it. They'll leave right after the communion sometimes. So these things that we need to be concerned about, being with others, remember what David said in Psalms 122 and verse 1. He said, I was glad when they said, come, let us go to the house of the Lord. He was glad. Psalm 122, verse 1. So he was glad to go worship God. I think that's his number one point. He wanted to worship God, but also to be with others who were worshiping God. So when we are coming together to worship, we are in the company of Christians. But people who are drifting, they don't really care so much about being around Christians. Why do you suppose that would be? Maybe they don't want to be reminded about what they should be doing. They don't want to be talking. They started maybe associating with people who are out in the world, and they start picking up some of their habits, so they don't want to be around Christians so much. So there's a lot of reasons maybe that we could discern from that, but we need to realize that that is a danger. We are to be concerned with edifying one another. Let's look at Romans 14 and verse 19. Romans 14:19 says, so then let us follow after things which make for peace and things whereby we may edify one another. And then let's go back to Hebrews chapter 10. We were in Hebrews, the first part of Hebrews, but over in Hebrews chapter 10, those passages say, let us do certain things. Begins about verse 22 in chapter 10. But when we get down to verse 24, it says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. And then right after that, it's where it says, not forsaking our own assembling. That is not forsaking our own assembling together, it says. The word together is important in that. We assemble together. So sometimes people get to the point they're drifting away. They don't really care about anyone else. They don't care about provoking or stirring up what that means to or prod one another to love and good works. And they don't want anybody doing that to them. So they do not want to be around Christians as much. So for the right kind of friendship, it strengthens us, while the wrong kind leads us to sin. So when a Christian prefers the companionship or the company and the friendship of people of the world rather than the fellowship of Christians, the friendship of Christians, then he is most likely drifting toward the rocks of spiritual disaster. So let's look at another point concerning signs. One was a diminishing desire to study God's word and pray. Second is a diminishing desire to be around other Christians. And a third point is a diminishing desire to share the gospel. When people get to the point they don't really want to share the gospel, maybe they're ashamed of the fact that they're Christians. They don't want to let people know that are out in the world, or that is their friends that are not Christians. They don't want to let them know maybe that they're a Christian. They don't want to talk about to anybody. They don't want to be involved if the church comes together and gets ready to go out and maybe to talk to others or go invite people to a vacation Bible school or a gospel meeting. They don't want to be concerned about that. They're not really concerned about other people. And a lot of it has to do with the way they are living and the way they are thinking. So when one obeys the gospel, he knows God has blotted out his sins and has made him a new creature in Christ. And he wants to tell the world about it. He wants to tell others about the good news that he has heard and that he has obeyed. But when a Christian no longer has a desire to take the message of salvation to others, he is drifting away. And then one more point before we start to look at some of the remedies. One more sign of drifting is that there is an increasing thrill over the things of the world. An increasing thrill about the worldly things. You start liking many of the things in the world that you didn't really like so much. And sometimes those things start kind of just in a subtle way. Maybe you think that there's nothing wrong with it. Can you think of some things that people, maybe even young people, get involved in? They don't think anything's wrong with it, but then before they know it, they're wrapped up in things of the world. Can you think of anything?
Maybe taking a little drink.
Okay. Right, because their friends maybe doing it, somebody's talked them into it, and they think that that's going to be something that maybe it won't hurt, but they think that that's okay to do. One thing I think of is maybe the type of music that people listen to. They don't realize that there's bad language, the connotations in the words and so on. They don't realize that, and then before they know it, they're involved in it. And it seems like there's a big craze, I know it's been going on for a long time, about dancing. The idea of just, you know, you see it on TV, all the dance-off shows and things that have to do with that. You know that they're on there. I just don't care to watch those kinds of things. And it's like, it's just that the world has become wrapped up in that, and sometimes it carries over into our, especially our young people, thinking that that's just the thing that everybody needs to be doing. And that's a terrible thing. So that might be something that it starts out as innocent. And so I've known before of people, even in the church, sending their little kids to a dance class, and maybe they think that's innocent, but then these little girls are, and especially the girls are doing that, but they become big girls, and the dances that they are involved in are not decent many times. So we have to be careful about things like that. And the things we watch on TV, that's always a danger. Thinking that the things on TV are okay, but then it can get us to be thinking about the world. A lot of times even the shows that the TV shows, Disney or whatever, a lot of times those shows, and my wife and I have noticed a lot of times our kids like to watch that, but one of the big things, even it's like the characters are about junior high a lot of times. And what's one of the big themes about that? It's boyfriend, girlfriend stuff. At junior high level. Talking about things like that, and they just kind of think, well, that's the way that people live. And then that becomes their main interest. So something of the world, it's like they get a desire for the worldly things, and it tends to blot out spiritual things. So a lot of these things that people think are innocent, we've got to be careful. They may be teaching our young people that the worldly things are okay, that they think, or that it is okay to do. And a lot of times they're just, of course, too young to be thinking about those things. So the thrill of the world, let's look at 1 John 2, 15 through 17. I just want to make reference to that real quick, and then we'll move on. About our love for the world. That's what we're talking about here. An increasing thrill over the things of the world. We've got to really be careful about how much interest we have in the world. Verse 15 of 1 John 2. Love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the vainglory of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, the context here describes what the world is. It's not just anything out in the world. We have to just take ourselves out of anything that's not part of the church. That's not what it's talking about. But it describes it. It's talking about the lust of the flesh. So it's talking about the sin in the world. That's what it's talking about. Things that are sinful. We can't love the sinful things of the world. We've got to be careful to keep that out of our lives. So such an increasing enjoyment in worldly pleasures. 2 Timothy 3, verse 4, Paul refers to those who are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. People become lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, and that's why a lot of people stop attending all of the worship or all of the services of the church, because the things of the world, well, I'd rather go to this. Somebody's invited me to go to something that's of the world, and they tend to do that instead. Okay? That's 2 Timothy 3, verse 4. 2 Timothy 3, 4, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. So if we reach the point when we find more pleasure in some worldly activity, than meeting with others to worship God, then we definitely are spiritually drifting. Now, such are some of the signs of drifting away from God that we've just mentioned here. To go over them again is a diminishing desire to study God's Word and pray, a diminishing desire to be with God's people, a diminishing desire to share the gospel with others, and then an increasing thrill over things of the world. So if we are to remain close to God, it will not be easy, but here are some remedies. And that's our last final point here, some remedies against drifting. We'll notice about 4 points. So we're talking about drifting somebody that's just out there in a boat, drifting away. They have oars and they've put them down in the boat, or they turned the motor off or whatever, and they're just drifting. They didn't put an anchor down, and so they're going to move a little bit. Well, number one is to keep from drifting. Number one is keep rowing. Keep doing something to make sure that you're moving in the right direction. So keep rowing. Spiritually speaking, this involves diligence. Let's turn over to 1 Peter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll begin at look at verse 5. Second Peter 1. Verse 5 says, "Yea, and for this very cause, adding on your part all diligence, in your faith supply virtue, and in your virtue knowledge," and so on through the rest of the verses. But let's go down to verse 10. But in verse 5, notice that word diligence. And we'll see it again in verse 10. Wherefore, brethren, give the more diligence to make your calling and election sure. So we need to give diligence to do something. So what is diligence? If a person is a, somebody says, that person is a diligent worker, what does that mean? Okay, faithful, hardworking, you can depend upon them to do the job that they have been assigned to do. That's what a diligent worker is. A diligent Christian, you might say a diligent Christian, he's always there, always willing to help and do something. So here it says, we need to add on our part all diligence to have faith, knowledge, self-control, patience, godliness, and so on. And then verse 8 says, if these things are yours and abound, they make you to be not idle nor unfruitful. And then in verse 10, we've read the first part of verse 10. It says, give the more diligence to make your calling and election sure. Then there's a word if. For if you do these things, you shall never stumble. What would be the conclusion if you do not do these things? Okay, you will stumble. If you do not give diligence, you're going to stumble, but the stumbling usually is preceded by drifting. Just drifting away. Drifting along. And then, of course, it becomes stumbling or falling away from the Lord. Now, we could also look at 2 Peter, just all those scriptures there, as we did. I just mentioned verses 5 through 8. That's a good study there. It means to keep abounding in the Christian virtues or graces. There's no place for retirement in living the life of a Christian. But let's notice a second point. Number one is keep rowing. Number two is watch out for undercurrents. Watch out for undercurrents. We must always be on guard for an undercurrent of temptation. What if you're out, sometimes people walk out on the beach and they tell you don't get out there too far because of what? Well, undertow or undercurrent is called sometimes. That means something you can't see up here, but it's underneath. What is it, like the pool of the water? Somebody know how to explain that? Anybody know how to explain it? I'm not that good at explaining, but I think it's just the idea of something's going to... The force of the water underneath can pull you along or just kind of get you out further and kind of take you under the water maybe. So there's things that can be dangerous about. So we have to be careful about it. Watch out for undercurrents. Well, as far as spiritually, we have to be on guard for the undercurrent of temptation. Things that kind of, you don't see it out on front, but there's little things that tempt us along the way to do things that are wrong. So we have to be careful about that. Let's go back to 1 Peter 2. Let's look at chapter 2, verse 11. 1 Peter 2, 11. Behold, or beloved, I beseech you as sojourners and pilgrims to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Fleshly lusts, all the things that are tempting to get us to sin, they may start out little, but then they end up getting big. And there's really no such thing as a little sin. That's 1 Peter 2:11. So we need to watch out for the undercurrents of temptation. A third point is to guard against drifting is to expect to go against the tide. Expect to go against it as far as if you're going to move, the water's coming in, maybe you've got to go the other way. You have to expect to go against the tide. There are many tides that to sweep us away, spiritually speaking. Sometimes people want to gain popularity, so they want to be like other people. They want to be popular. They want to do what the world does or what their friends do. That's really a serious temptation for young people. To be like other people, to be liked. They want people to like them. They want to be popular. Sometimes that's the problem of peer pressure. Our peers, that means those that are around us about our age or our friends, they are going to pressure us into being like them. And that's a danger of influence because we tend to kind of be like the people that we associate with. And then also the praise of others. In the church, there's the problems of modernism, skepticism, humanism, all these are some of the things, denominationalism, false doctrine, false doctrines of all kinds, liberalism and worldliness in the church. These are some of the things that cause even whole congregations to drift away from the Lord, to be like the world. And the greatest, probably the greatest enemy of the church in our lifetime is the liberalism and worldliness that is existent in the church. And then there's also neglect, just indifference, don't really care about what's going on, apathy, lack of interest and concern. So if one drifts along with the majority, he's certainly going to be lost like the majority. What is that called? What did Jesus say that way is in Matthew 7? Okay, the wide way or the broad way. The broad. Narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life. Matthew 7, 13 and 14 would be a good verse to study there. But then one more point. Our time is just about up. One more point in this, and then we'll make a conclusion. Remedies against drifting is keep rowing. Watch out for undercurrents. Realize that you have to expect to go against the tide. You have to kind of go against things sometimes that are wrong, and you've got to be going upstream, so to speak. And then the last point is that we must have strong anchorage. If you want to get a ship or a boat to stay still and you don't want to move anywhere, you can't just not do anything. A lot of times, what will a ship do? Put down an anchor, so that they will not move. So we have to be steadfast and sure. That's the idea of the anchor. Let's look at Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. Just a few scriptures to know we must have strong anchorage. Colossians 2, verse 6 says, "As therefore you received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and builded up in faith, and established in your faith, even as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." Rooted means the idea of have strong roots. It just goes down deep to keep the strength on top. That's what's important in the Christian life. And then our minds must be anchored to the truth. A verse on that is Ephesians 4, 14, 15. I'll just give you the verses here. We must possess an unshakable hope. Hebrews 6, 18 and 19. And then we also need to be rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. Ephesians chapter 3, 16 through 18. So, again, the question, are we drifting? Now, if any of those symptoms, if you have the symptoms that we talked about that says if you have these things, you most likely are drifting. The danger is real, and it would be foolish to say otherwise. Many have drifted away from the Lord. We would be arrogant to say that it could not happen to us. We have to always be aware. So are there signs of drifting in your life? Honestly ask yourself, is it, you know, do I have a desire to study God's Word and pray? Is that diminishing, though? So all these questions, let's be sure that we talk about that. So that's our lesson today. We hope this has helped us in some way to put us on guard so that we do not drift away from the Lord.